Hi, my name is Elise Riley, and I have the privilege of leading a health disparities research group here in San Francisco at UCSF. I'm going to be presenting some data today that I've been working on with colleagues from UCSF as well as the San Francisco Department of Public Health on Trichomonas vaginalis among homeless and unstably housed adult women. We have no relationships to disclose. So every year, there are between 3 and 5 million new cases of Trichomonas in the U.S., resulting in about a 3% prevalence among women between 14 and 49. Infections are often asymptomatic, and gynecological symptoms don't consistently predict Trichomonas infection. Trichomonas is a risk factor for herpes simplex virus 2, as well as HIV, and when it's untreated, it can go on to develop pelvic inflammatory disease, preterm births, and low birth weight babies. Among HIV-positive women, Trichomonas increases HIV viral shedding, which can increase transmission rates. So despite the fact that there's more evidence around negative health outcomes associated with Trichomonas, there are currently no screening guidelines in the U.S. Risk factors for Trichomonas include Latina ethnicity, African American race, increasing age, and living in an impoverished area. However, few studies have been conducted in among exclusively impoverished women. So the objective of our study was to address this. We wanted to characterize the prevalence of Trichomonas in a community-based sample of homeless and unstably housed adult women. Between April and October of 2010, a mobile outreach team went into the Tenderloin neighborhood here in San Francisco. They approached women at homeless shelters, free meal programs, and low-income single-room occupancy hotels. In order to have enough statistical power to do HIV-specific analyses, we oversampled HIV-positive women on additional recruitment days. Our outcome was prevalent Trichomonas, as assessed by a commercially available point-of-care assay, which was an OSOM Trichomonas rapid test. Our potential correlates included socioeconomic factors, unmet subsistence needs, including food, clothing, hygiene needs, as well as drug use and mental illness, which was assessed by the Diagnostic Interview Survey, which uses DSM-4 criteria. And HIV status was also assessed on site. So we were lucky enough to have over a 90% acceptance rate among women who were invited to participate in the study. We recruited 245 women, just over half of whom were HIV positive. Median age was 48 years. About two-thirds had graduated from high school, and over 70% were women of color. Over 40% reported unmet subsistence needs in the past 6 months. Almost a third reported sleeping in a homeless shelter, on the street, or in a public place in the last 6 months. And in terms of HIV status, 48% were HIV negative, 42% were HIV positive and taking antiretroviral therapy, while 10% were HIV positive not taking antiretroviral therapy. Prevalence of Trichomonas was 14%, which is in comparison to 3% in the general U.S. population. Just over 33% of infected women reported no gynecological symptoms, including pelvic pain, burning during urination, blood in urine, abnormal discharge or odor, new sores, lumps, warts, or genitals, or on the genitals in the last 6 months. Just under 33% of uninfected women reported having no gynecological symptoms. And the difference in proportions in these two proportions was not statistically significant, as both were hovering around 33%. In terms of unadjusted analyses, the significant variables in terms of odds for Trichomonas, women in the oldest two age quartiles had lower odds for Trichomonas. Women who reported short-term homeless shelter stays had higher odds, and this was defined by a natural break in the data in terms of the distribution of people who reported homelessness. At about 25%, we had a natural break in the data. So for women who had between 1 and 25% of all of their evenings in the last 6 months in a homeless shelter, they had increased odds of trichomonas. And it's interesting to report that women who had longer-term homeless shelter stays did not have the same pattern. In addition, women who exchanged sex for drugs had higher odds. In adjusted analysis, these patterns were similar, except when short-term homeless shelter stays were in the model, having exchanged sex for drugs fell out of the model. Also in the same model, but difficult to show on the same slide, factors of mental illness, drug use, and HIV were assessed. And amongst these, only having used marijuana in the past 6 months was significantly associated with trichomonas infection. And to be clear, because I've showed this over a few slides, in the final model, odds of trichomonas were lower among older women, higher among women with short-term homeless shelter stays, and higher among women who reported marijuana use. A couple notable differences between what we found in our study and what other studies have found in the general population. First, in the general population, older women have higher odds of trichomonas, whereas in our study we found that younger women did. And also in the general population, race, ethnicity, and income are generally associated with trichomonas, but I do have to point out that our recruitment strategy really targeted very, very impoverished women, so this is very different than the general population. So in conclusion, the prevalence of trichomonas is extremely high among homeless and unstably housed women. Among women who are infected, one-third have no gynecological symptoms. And the strongest correlates of trichomonas are different from those in the general population, including younger age and short-term homeless shelter stays. So while this prevalence is extremely high and it's concerning, the good news is that trichomonas is a treatable infection, so we're a half glass full kind of crowd, and we see this as a public health opportunity. Targeted screening and treatment, particularly among recently displaced young women or young women who have a lot of transitions between housing environments, may reduce the risk of additional sexually transmitted infections that are linked to trichomonas, including HIV and herpes, could reduce health complications such as pelvic inflammatory disease and pregnancy outcomes, and could reduce HIV vaginal shedding among HIV-infected women. All of these would not only improve the health of homeless and unstably housed women, but also reduce costs associated with these complications. So I'd like to thank you for your time and thank our study participants, our research team, and the NIH for funding our study. I think it's a very good question, and we've actually been finding this quite a bit in several of our health outcome studies, and it's actually fairly consistent in our work, where we see that women with short-term homeless shelter stays are at higher risk for violence as well as infections than women who have longer homeless shelter stays, and we think this has to do with being recently displaced, and that not that it's a good thing, but if you're homeless for a while, you learn how to be on the street, and it's when you're first on the street, it's very, very risky, and you are pretty much at the mercy sometimes of other people, and it's a very high risk time, and so again, people who are on the street longer tend to become more accustomed to what to do, where to go for resources and what have you, and also make alliances with people. And so it's just a very risky time when you're initially displaced.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that there is a guideline?
That's a good question. We're wondering the same thing. It's actually, trichomonas has not been It's not been studied a whole lot. Actually, in the literature right now, as we're writing the paper that reflects these data, we're not finding very much out there at all, as a matter of fact. And it's really just an understudied infection. And there's mounting data. There's more and more studies that are basically saying this is a problem, and it's also attached with a lot of bad outcomes. And given that there's just more and more evidence coming out, and I think that there has been a push for more people to say, hey, you know, targeted screening, this does need to be done. Maybe not necessarily in the general population, but particularly in some populations with higher risks, for instance, homeless and marginally housed women.